And
Good morning.
Gucci,
Good
your
morning.
yeah, people love the cool.
No, Chair, there's no toppling. We've got you. Don't worry.
Comrades, this thing of loaded thing is nightmare. The nightmare in the house. We are unable to function properly because of load shedding. Happy are those who are under the city of Cape Town in terms of electricity. We, people of Eskom, we are under siege. And it's not nice at all. Jerry, are we in
morning,
Peterson? Yebo, how are you?
I'm well, Peterson. I'm well. I was also getting worried.
Yay, it's no cheating. My Wi-Fi is acting up now. Do we have quorum?
Yes, Chairperson, we do have a quorum. The only member that we do not have here is Honorable De Freitas, who is attending another party business. The rest of the members of the committee, they are all here, Chairperson. Including the delegation from the Department of Transport.
So the delegation from the Department of Transport is how many people?
What I have in front of me, Chairperson, I've got about five, but they are led by the minister.
Is the minister here?
Yes, Honorable Mbalula is here, Chairperson, leading the delegation.
Okay, I see Comrade Futa is here. Okay.
Of myself.
I'm here, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you to our portfolio committee extraordinary one. Let me also welcome the Minister of Transport and also appreciate his presence to this important meeting. I'm not sure if there's any members who have joined us from that particular portfolio committee, but let me also welcome the delegation from the Department of Tourism and the Department of Transport. The purpose of the meeting, if I were to remind all of us, it is a meeting which we agreed on after the presentation by the bus company, which came to present to the portfolio committee on the challenges which they are faced with. And those challenges affects tourism in general in the country. And because we are in a tourism month and there will be we are expecting tourists as we approach the festive season. to flock in our country, and also interprovincial travels during that time. We are anticipating that there will be a lot. So with the challenges presented to our portfolio committee, they in the main the domestic tourism activism within our country before we could even speak about the international tourists. So we thought it's important, Minister, that we interface with your department and just to mitigate on these matters, because somehow there were allegations that they don't get assistance and what have you. But we felt as a portfolio committee that we are not going to move with the flow, but rather engage the department and the portfolio committee on transport on these matters, so that we move in unison in terms of the interventions and everything else that will assist us to ensure that there are smooth operations moving forward. So in a nutshell, that's the long and short of it. That's why we are in this meeting today. So without wasting time, first, before the presentation, I'm going to allow the minister to input. And then after that, we allow the department to make a presentation to the portfolio committee. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was muted. Of the portfolio committee on tourism, Honorable Tandima Ambesala, members of the portfolio committee, acting director general Mr. Mwako Makai Pia. Tourism is an important sector that makes a meaningful contribution to our economy and the brand South Africa. Each one of us has a role to play to ensure that the economy thrives and tourism grows exponentially. The attacks on long distance passes, intimidation and extortion that accompanies these attacks cannot be characterized as anything else but criminality. Those who believe they have the right to kill and maim in order to get ahead and eliminate competition belong in jail. We are under no illusion that while transport is primarily an economic and social function, it also carries massive security responsibilities. Those who rely on public transport, whether to access centers of economic activity, social infrastructure and amenities, or tourism and recreation, have a right to safety while using the system. We therefore have a collective responsibility working with law enforcement authorities to eradicate this cancer in our midst. The intermodal conflict that has worsened in recent years is widespread and goes beyond these long-distance bus operators. Reported incidents include scholar transport, cross-border transport, commuter services, and commercial contract between employers and private operators. Extortion has become institutionalized in the public transport space, with the taxi industry being the main culprit. This provides a perverse incentive for conflict and violence. These practices are not isolated to Western and Eastern Cape, but widespread across all provinces. We are committed to working with law enforcement authorities to deal with these criminal acts with a decisive blow. At the conclusion of the taxi Lekgotla we hosted in October 2020, the taxi industry made a clear and unambiguous statement on violence and conflict. The industry declared that violence in all its manifestation has no place in the industry. We all have a responsibility to take decisive action to eliminate this cancer that casts a shadow not only in the public transport sector, but the country at large. Our enabling legislation that regulates public transport operations provides for a number of punitive measures for those who willfully letter in spirit of the law in pursuit of narrow selfish interests. Authorities and intelligence will deliver outcomes that arrest the proliferation of this criminality. Ours is to invoke legal instruments at our disposal to ensure that they have nowhere to hide. Employing legal instruments at our disposal enable us to tighten the conditions of all operating licenses in the country, to empower regulatory entities to invoke the provisions of Section 779, subsection 2 of the National Land Transport Act. This provision empowers regulatory entities to withdraw or suspend operating license under defined circumstances. Section 91 further empowers the MECs at provincial level with powers to invoke emergency measures, which include closing of ranks and routes and impounding of vehicles where there is an outbreak of violence. These actions can be coordinated among different provinces. The minister can only exercise these powers after consulting the relevant MEC. However, these measures are only effective if the identity of the perpetrators of the violence is known. We are therefore considering the following measures to reinforce law enforcement interventions that will stem this violence. Declaring a nationwide moratorium on the issuing of all operating licenses. A countrywide approach is important to undermine the interprovincial nature of the extortion and racketeering activities that fuel violence and killings. Implementing urgent measures to build the requisite capacity for municipalities to ensure operating licenses are issued on the basis of up-to-date integrated transport plans as required by law. Putting in place enforceable laws to ranking facilities. This intervention will require coordination at provincial enforced by law enforcement authorities. In addition, serious attention has been given to amending conditions of all operating licenses to explicitly provide for the suspension and withdrawal of operating licenses in terms of Section 72, subsection 2B, where an operator is found to have been party to extortion and racketeering activities. We are equally considering publishing regulations empowering the National Public Transport Regulator to establish a complaint line and monitoring mechanism for extortion and racketeering activities, which evidence will be shared with law enforcement authorities. This should include evidence of collusion by members of SAPS and or traffic officers as provided for in the NLTA amendment bill that is yet to be signed into law. These interventions are our contribution to the broader package of interventions that will be implemented through the interministerial committee led by Minister Peggy Gwede. The Acting Director General will make a detailed presentation to the committee. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister, for a mouthful input, which is also informative on the processes which the department has undertook. Now, I'm going to allow the department to make a presentation to the Portfolio Committee. Acting DG, can you take the podium or the platform?
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning and good morning to Honorable Members, Minister Mbalula, colleagues from the Department of Tourism. Chair, the issue of violence and intimidation of public transport, it is one of the areas, like Minister said, which is an area of concern. And I think it's even spreading nationally. And it is a reality that both the operators and passengers are enduring they've enjoyed the attacks based on some of these issues. And we will brief the committee in terms of the intervention that we have done in working together with other spheres of government, including law enforcement, like the minister said. And to then even said, based on what has been presented or initiated by Intercape, wherein both the MEC in the Eastern Cape and the minister, that particular matter which we are handling. I then hand over, Honorable Chairperson, to the DDG responsible for public transport, Mr. Matawata Mukonyama, to present to the Honorable Members the presentation that you have prepared. Mr. Mukonyama.
Thank you very much, Acting Director General. Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, and colleagues. I'm not so sure if the presentation was sent to Secretariat. If not, I'll try and share this side. I think, Chair, the problems you have, I seem to also have of a load shedding. Now my gadget says only the host can share in this meeting. So maybe they can allow me the rights to share the presentation. Chair? Honorable Chairperson, if the Secretary has the presentation, they can share it or they can allow to share.
Then Mr. Polsina will allow you to share or give you the sharing rights. Mr. Polsina, please.
Yes, Chairperson, I've done so, Chair.
It has been shared, Chair. I will try to. Oh my God. I'm trying to share it, Chair. I will share it now. Chairperson, Honorable Chair, if they can okay, here it is. Thank you very much. Whoever has said it has assisted me quite a lot. Chair, it is not a long presentation. The majority of the issues have been mentioned by the Honorable Minister, and then to the second slide of a sharing. Chair, we'll deal with the introduction that will talk to the background activities and the interventions. And then probably expand a little bit on the legislative recourse in terms of the current legislation, and then we'll conclude. Next slide, please. Chairperson, I think this the minister has indicated, has spoken quite a lot around the issues. In that one, I think there has been an increase in lawlessness in the space. You would have takes on taxi tensions, and then you have also on the other side taxi on buses tensions, and then takes on buses on the bus side. It affects almost all the types of public transport, be it commuter scholar, and then organized parties like staff transport, chairperson. And then the common denominator will always be, we are told, taxi industry. And I'll elaborate further here because I think identity is very important. Just so that we don't paint the entire industry with the same brush, because we believe it's elements within the industry who are engaging in this criminal activities. Chair, in so far as the acts that we have been observing, especially in the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, is that one, the bus companies are forced to either reduce the numbers or alternatively also reduce the fares. And then they are then also being targeted on some key routes, where they are not allowed to either offload or load passengers in certain routes and or ranks and operate in certain routes, even though they might be having operating licenses or what are normally known as permits. Chairperson. And then in the main, you would have people who are now operating outside even of taxi rides. And what we have noticed is that the majority of those taking people out of trying to take people out of buses, and then a person have mentioned the issue of fares. Generally speaking, because of the type of transport, the buses would generally be slightly cheaper based on the kind of service that they provide. And the taxi people would want to force these bus operators to then come to their level in terms of the taxi fares. And then the other issue is they would even go into established centers like ranks within malls and other related areas and force the management of malls to only allow them to ferry passengers. But also, where people buy tickets from, say, ShopRite, Checkers, and other outlets, they would even be intimidated by being forced not to sell bus tickets, because they say that they're taking their passengers. And then there is a quite an increased number of attacks and intimidation, some fatal on bus drivers, chairperson. And over and above all of this, you also have acts of extortions, wherein people are made to pay money to operate. Now, We can also mention here, Chairperson, that earlier on I indicated that we want to believe and suspect that these are people from the taxi industry, but it is not the entirety of the taxi industry. As the minister said, at the level of leadership, they have condemned and they continue to condemn this act. But you will have criminal elements within the same industry that would then cause all of these troubles. Meaning therefore that when they are unknown to the target routes that are isolated and not properly resourced in terms of law enforcement. And then the issue of holding them accountable, but also arresting them. The police also testified to that. There has been in the last, I think, 3 weeks, a breakthrough in terms of a person arrested around Cape Town on this matter. The last issue on this slide, Chair, is that Intercape Ferreira has made an application making certain prayers to the court in to the High Court in the Eastern Cape in Makada, and one of the issues there is that one, police should do their job in terms of arresting people, and then in our space as transport, the minister has been cited to say that he must work with police to ensure that these perpetrators are brought to book. We are dealing with that matter with filed responding affidavits, and then I will not go really into details, lest I also then expose the legal strategy. Chair, in terms of interventions and initiatives, these are the things that are being done by among others, the provinces, the two provinces in particular, but also working together with ourselves. I must also indicate that 2 weeks back, we were called by the provincial legislature on the same matter. I think Mr. Ferreira would recall that a bit. So we've got a matter in court. We've got a matter that we are dealing with in terms of certain recommendations from the legislature in the Western Cape. And then today we are reporting to ourselves, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. In the Western Cape, Chairperson, SAFS is leading and co-chair the Prof. Joyce. And then in there is a work stream called the Transport Priority Committee, which then deals with, is focusing on this matter, but also deal with the matters of cleaning regulations and enforcement, Chairperson. And then they have helped also together with the NPA, the City of Cape Town, what we call extortion standard operating procedures with the focus on the transport sector, Chairperson. And then the province also has written to His Excellency the President to request a coordinated intervention. And then this matter was then given to the security cluster of ministers, and the Minister of Transport to develop the response. This is led by the Minister of Police, Honorable Chen. And then the Metro in Cape Town and traffic are enforcing operating licenses. People who have operating licenses have their database and we know them. And then later on, I'll indicate what the law says if they don't operate or if they abuse the right to operate, to the right to enter into economic regulation space. Now, it is difficult if it is criminal elements that are unknown. We've got reason to believe that the then also who jump onto the bandwagon, more especially around the issue of extortion, Chesterton. We've got the highway flying squad and the provincial traffic that monitor the hotspot routes and then act rapidly if an incident gets reported. Proactively, Honorable Chair, we then disrupt some of these actions and activities. We also have in key routes CCTVs, cameras, Jefferson, to monitor this hotspot. Next slide, please. Chair, the other issues that we're dealing with, Jefferson, we're calling for and we really welcome a coordinated approach in terms of dealing with them. Especially from a transport point of view, integrated transport plans and integrated efforts that would involve South provincial and municipal transport entities. Jefferson, I've spoken about the highway patrols. There are targeted roadblocks and roadside checks at still, again, if these people were known, easy to apprehend them, but they are just like a traffic offense. They're sort of moving offenses, so they would move. They know this area is now guarded, or there is a visibility in terms of law enforcement. They would move into other spots, Jefferson. Likewise, in the Eastern Cape, there is a Prof. Joins that is dealing with this matter. It includes the Provincial Department of Transport, the SAPS, and then Crime Intelligence. Jefferson, we're also assisted by the Department of Cooperative Governance and the municipalities along the specific routes. Chair, I've spoken about the priority committee. So these structures are replicated in the provinces most affected. Resources permitting, this could be emulated in other provinces also, because for obvious reasons, once you tighten law enforcement in particular provinces, these people will tend to move to other provinces. Next slide, please. Okay. Now, in terms of specifically and the minister's, continuing with the interventions in the Eastern Cape, Jefferson, R61 is the priority route and the N2 around Butterworth, Idujwa, Makwe, and Tomo, Jefferson. And we are saying we're dealing with our part in terms of economic regulation, safety regulation, promoting safety on the roads. But pure acts of extortion and intimidation are criminal acts. So we need a collaborative effort by law enforcement actors in particular to deal with the acts that are pure extortion and Jefferson. Perpetrators really and probably should be should we apprehend them and we unmask them? Because you see, once you arrest a person and you know he belongs to a particular association, then our act allows us and empowers us to then act in the space, to then suspend this association, to then withdraw operating licenses, but also to an extreme invoke a moratorium on that particular route until order is restored, Chapter 7. So we are saying the minister does have powers given to him by the NLTA. Section 11 has got extensive powers, Section 79 talks to the behavior, Section 90 talks to also the circumstances upon which a license can be revoked if people don't adhere to the conditions of licenses. The last part here, I wanted to indicate therefore then that working together with police because of the criminal element, the criminal side of it, will go a long way to dealing with this matter. Next slide, please. And then we just adding here some of the efforts that have been taken, in particular by the minister, to deal with this matter. Just to show that the minister, one, would really want to see this thing dealt with decisively. Chairperson, the second bullet, in the first bullet, we emphasize the participation of everybody in the net joints so that we develop a coordinated response. But Chair, the minister, convicted Tessie Lekota, as he has mentioned. And in there, commitments were made to stop and eliminate this acts of violence, intimidation, extortion. And that's why we are saying the leadership has spoken, the leadership continue to speak, but would then want to deal with matters of criminality. Chair, the ministers held several meetings between CODETA and CATA in the Western Cape. Now, this is taxi-to-taxi violence, but for obvious reasons, once you say stop an operation, for example, within the city of Cape Town, between CODETA and CATA, there is then an overflow into the long distance market, and then they start to then compete with the buses on the other side. Chairperson, likewise, around the George area through to the Eastern Cape, we've had several meetings with Unlando, in particular around George, and then but also through to the Eastern Cape. Unlando has got its origin from that area. Chairperson, I've mentioned that on the 4th we presented more or less the same, but this is enhanced with some more research. We presented before the Portfolio Committee on Transport and Public Works in the Western Cape legislation. Chair, I'm sure very soon we'll get the documented recommendations in terms of what else we can assist. We are also involved, Chairperson, in Hammanskraal, but this is more taxi-to-taxi violence, although it touches also on long-distance routes towards Limpopo and Mpumalanga. So these are some of the high-level initiatives that we're dealing with in terms of how we enthuse, how the minister enthuse the taxi industry to behave. Just in case it is the taxi industry, chapter 5. Next slide, please. Chair, last one, we're now talking to the legislative because I wouldn't really go into details. The minister has indicated what are the measures that we can use currently in terms of the legislation, but also some of those that we can propose. National Land Transport Act, Chairperson. The issue of the withdrawal and suspension of an operating license are dealt with in terms of Section 79, in particular, Chapter 2, Subsection 2 and 3, that talks to if the kind of people that we can suspend their licenses. And among those, Chairperson, if you look in particular, in B, it talks to if in the opinion of the pre-provincial regulating entity, excuse me, the person has not carried out faithfully the condition of the operating license or permit. And then you have got extraordinary measures towards the end of the act, Chairperson. Now, this is where now the powers of the MECs have the power to close a rank or a route if the safety of passengers is at stake, if the safety of fellow operators is at stake, any other person, including the other operators. They can then, the MECs can then, through a government gazette, declare a moratorium for a limited period while sorting out the challenges. Unfortunately, when you put a moratorium, it affects all operations, it stops all operations. So in my point, even that the victims, in this instance, the bus operators, also get affected, Chairperson. Now, the minister is on record as having worked with the MECs to close some, to put some of these punitive measures to ensure that the order is restored. This function is original to the MECs in the provinces, supported and advised by the provincial regulating entities. Towards the end of the section of 91, that minister can intervene when an MEC would have failed, but that should happen with the consent of that very same MEC. Next slide, please. The next slide, please. Chairperson, in conclusion, we still are re-emphasizing multidisciplinary team at national, and then cascading to that would include SAFSAS, NPA, this is supposed to be SA and crime intelligence, so that one, you infiltrate these people, but also to you get to understand whether these people are toxic people, registered, so that you can invoke the relevant section of the act, or these are just two criminal people extorting money with diverse intentions, like the minister has indicated, Chairperson. We also are proposing that it's not joint level. That's not joints, not necessarily in the Department of Transport, but that's not joints in the work stream of transport priority. We develop a stabilization plan that would then, one, proactively deal with the matters before they even turn violent or even fatal. We also are insisting upon the law enforcement agencies to establish task teams to deal with the violations of law through intelligence-driven mechanisms, so that that information is shared across the agencies and then across the length and breadth of the country, targeting the so-called priority routes, Chair. Because we're dealing with buses, but we've got similar issues in the trucking industry also, Chairperson. So there are efforts within the security cluster of ministers and technical teams supporting that structure to deal with this matters, Chair. That is the last slide, Chairperson. In conclusion, is that these are some of the things that Chairperson will also be. No, we have already filed with the courts. I think, and Dr. Ferreira should know by now. We are sliding it out. Matter, Chair. But there has been a breakthrough, and probably out of that, and we will have an indication of who is responsible. And should it be the people that we give operative licenses on our side, we definitely will invoke the relevant section to ensure that they don't operate unless and until they behave. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Back to you, Acting Director General.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to allow the Honorable Members to engage on the report or presentation. I see no hands on the platform. Honorable Winkler, followed by Honorable Ketamaba. In that order.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Minister of Transport and the Department also for the feedback and presentation. What we heard on our portfolio committee from the bus liner was harrowing and highly concerning. The intimidation, the violence, the threats, the impact this has on, I would say, local tourism, the threat of impact that this might have on international tourists should they also get involved in the fray in terms of collateral damage because of violence is a huge issue. So I have heard you touch on the engagements with MECs in different provinces. What the bus liner that's presented to us did mention was that the Western Cape had seemed to successfully pursue enforcement and arrests with regards to those implicated in violence. However, there was an issue with arrests and enforcements in the Eastern Cape that he was particularly concerned about. So I know that the minister has said that there are engagements with MECs and that under certain circumstances, if the MECs fail to fulfill their mandate, the minister can intervene. But what happens, for instance, to MECs that refuse to be brought on board and refuse to engage with this very serious issue? So exactly what is the consequent management for errant MECs? Then this issue has been ongoing for quite a while. And so my concern is that there seems to be a lot of work that's been done, I would say, by the minister and the department. But what is the time frame? I mean, when are we actually going to see the enforcement and the impact of these engagements on the ground in terms of, you know, allowing for this of a free and unthreatened travel on bus liners. Yes, and that's all for now. Thank you.
Honorable Keta Mabala, you're no longer interested to engage the report because your hand is...
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. Thank you, Honorable Chairman. And thank you to the presenters and to the minister for... this information.
You are breaking.
But I do hear you. I don't know what happened. It is on my side is okay.
You are better.
Do
now.
You hear me?
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you. Yes.
Okay. So now it's chairperson, I have a concern. Because there was an assignment from the president that the security cluster must develop a response. But I didn't hear how far have they developed that response and what are the time frame for that response development. And another thing, chairperson, that is what the integrated plan is not working because if you are driving to find provinces, you find that the law enforcement, the FATS, the municipalities that are operating as a team, they are not enforcing as a team, they are just with. If you find that the health block has been done by the SAPS, sometimes the municipality, and sometimes the province, there's no enforcement, there's no teamwork, which we're supposed to be law. So now the last one is that one. The departmental conclusion. It seems that they are still planning. There is no intervention. There's no enforcement. Only planning. So now I'm trying to check how long are they going to do this planning without any implementation and enforcement. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Mamu Komba.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to the Minister and his department. Honorable Chair, I would like to talk about the areas in terms of the operating licenses, in particular in the tourism sector. Because in some of the provinces, yes, we do get a very good service in terms of the issuing of the operating licenses to the tour operators. Now, the issue here is in the Western Cape, where you find the tourism industry being monopolized with regards to the issuing of the operating licenses to the African tour operators. So I would love to hear how the minister and his department will assist those people who are marginalized in the Western Cape from operating the routes, which are tourism attraction, which are aligned to the tourism attraction areas. And you find that only the big industries are given access to those areas and the licenses to operate to go through to those routes. So I don't know how the intervention of the Department of Transport will assist us in ensuring that there's equitable license giving to all the South Africans who qualify to be given the opportunity to operate in the Western Cape routes. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you to the Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Those with a few questions to the team, and I'm going to allow DG and your team to respond, but safe to say there seem to be a lot that has been done, and particularly in the harbor of these, in terms of the pictures and the evidence which was shown to the portfolio committee by the bus company in our last meeting. But I'm going to allow DG and the team to respond.
Thanks very much, Chair, and to the question that has been raised by the Honourable Members. Chair, just to then put it on record, Chair, that as the department, we have demonstrated the actions in terms of the work that we have done. And we therefore, and with Minister, have engaged with the provinces, and we'll continuously work together with the province of the Eastern Cape to ensure that there's more enforcement in terms of dealing with this particular matter. And even, obviously, learn from some of those strategies by the Western Cape. Because you'll acknowledge that these are matters really that happen not planned. And the indication that we have mentioned through the TTG of inclusion of the law enforcement agencies, I think it's very critical that we are able to leave that in the back. But the challenge is that, like we have said, the issue of intimidation and extortion becomes a criminal action. And the key responsibility really lies with the SAPS. But we then obviously, if there are further investigations in terms of finding out that if there are people who are having our operational license, we are able to take responsibilities in terms of the legislation. Secondly, with regard to the stabilization, Chair, I hear that there is a noise interference from the speakers, but it's not from my side. I'm in a quiet environment. Maybe let me just ask those who, everyone to mute. Chair, the last issue is that the stabilization plan is not led by us as the Department of Transport. It's led by Net Joint, and they are dealing with that particular process, and we cannot really able from our side, because we are participatory, to then give the definite time frames, but we'll then ensure that in our engagement in that particular strike, of what we are doing. With what the Honorable Ketamabala said with regard to us continuously planning, we believe that the action that we have engaged with really are demonstrative actions of our intervention led by Honorable Minister Mbalula. And as a result, with regard to the tour operators, we take note of the comments that have been made. It is a responsibility of the National Public Transport Regulator, which sits within the Department of Transport, and obviously in our adjudication of those submissions that are put towards the regulator, will ensure that those that are marginalized are considered, so that there is fair opportunities across all the operators. I then allow Honorable Chair to DDG Matavata to just add, and then we'll hand over back to the Minister for the closing final editions. Thank you very much. DDG?
Thank you very much, Director General. Chair, there was a question around what happens to an MEC who is not cooperative. Chairperson, I think we are a bit cautious to say the MEC is not cooperative. Like we have indicated that in the transport sector, we're guided by the NLCA, and then we provide economic regulation through permits or operating licenses. Now, the matters of criminality would, for obvious reasons, be the responsibility of SAPS. I think that it assisted quite a lot if they were in the meeting to try and deal with what is the actual things that they are doing, proactively using crime intelligence, but also how many people have been arrested so far. So I don't think that we have reached a stage where we can say the MEC is refusing to cooperate, and then we can invoke Section 91 to get the minister to deal with that kind of a responsibility. So that is the first part. But the second, the last thing, I think the Director General has dealt with the majority of the issues. You see, if these people were known and they belong to our constituents, the people we serve, which is the taxi industry, I'm definitely sure that we should be, we would have made some strides to deal with those. But again, that is the matter that has not just have been given more to crime intelligence in terms of trying to find out who are the perpetrators. So far, the information we have is criminal elements who do not have faces, who come in the darkest hours of the night or in isolated routes during the day, and then intimidate, stop drivers, and even at worst, assault the driver, chairperson. But the chair, with regard to tow operators operating licenses, no problem. That function has, in terms of the NLTA, moved to national. No problem is allowed to issue tow operations. And we are working, chair. You'll be encouraged to hear that we are working with the formalized structures within the tourism industry to deal with the backlog. At the last count, where we were in July at about the backlog of 1,040, we are now having less than 200 that needs to be processed. The challenge that in terms of the marginalized people, check. These are the people who would apply for an operating license without a vehicle. For obvious reasons, they can't go buy a vehicle and hope that they'll get an operating license. So they'll apply without a vehicle. We then issue a license conditionally with the condition that they can go. They will have to go get the vehicle because then we need the vehicle particulars on the operating license. Now, the majority of our people are those that have were better off at the time of applications. But for various reasons and because of the economic conditions, they are now no longer able to go and acquire a vehicle. So you have with a close to 200 operating licenses that have not been uplifted because of such reasons. But there is equity in the market without necessarily denying those that have got the right to operate, denying them operating license. I think, Chair, we've dealt with the issues, particularly the Director General has dealt with the technical issues quite well. Thanks.
Honourable members, is there any follow-up questions?
Honourable Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the response.
I see your hands on the platform. Honourable Ketamabala, followed by Honourable Gomba, and you'll be the last person.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, I didn't hear about the development of a response, which was sanctioned by the President to the cluster. I didn't hear how far have they gone. And the other one, Chairperson, is the issue of intimidation, because we have an intelligence agency. We're supposed to inform them about the intimidation that is happening in these two industries. So I didn't hear what has they say, what the plan. And the last one, Chairperson, that one of the of the planning, because I have a concern if they are still on a planning phase where people are dying in numbers. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson.
For me, Honourable Chair, my question was not clearly explained, maybe or responded to, because it was about the intervention by the department to ensure that there's a fair manner of distributing the operating licenses in the tourism sector by the Western Cape government, a provincial government. So I didn't hear about that in the response, Honourable Chair.
Did you?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if Honourable Ketamabala had a challenge with maybe the network, because we did indicate that the intervention that we have announced in terms of what we have done is not really planning, but we have made sure that we engage and meet with all the affected stakeholders in that particular case. Where we are saying we are not leading is that we therefore engage, because the matter of the plan is led by NetJoin, which is in the security cluster. And DDG Matavata was saying it would have been, if they were in the meeting, at least we've been clear in terms of them in that particular space. And on Honourable Gomba, with regard to the what we then said was that the function is now with the National Department of Transport in terms of the NPTR. And when those applications are submitted, we make sure that we're able to do those things with the issues that have been raised effectively for fair, to ensure that there is fair adjudication of those kind of applications. Jim Konyama.
Acting Director General, they want to call. I think the noise comes from your side. I don't know why. Honourable Chairperson, there is no province, including the Western Cape province, that issues operating licenses for tour operators. That function is now at national. Reason being that a tourist can start a trip in Cape Town and end up in Mpumalanga. Now, with the previous system, when they were still issued by provinces, they would then have to get concurrence from other provinces. Now, we've cut that red tape, and then they are issued at national. So we will definitely have to investigate if there is a province that is still issuing licenses for tour operations. What they can do to issue licenses for long distance travel and for shuttle services. Not both of those functions, once we've built enough capacity within the MPTR, are also functions in terms of the act that should come to the MPTR. I think the DG has dealt with the stabilization plan. The stabilization plan, the plan, are a part of the responses to the president's mandate to the cluster that we did, among others, develop and turn out this plan. It is led by SAPS because of the majority of the functions that are support tasks needs to come from that area and that space. We work very well with the SSA, to some extent with the crime intelligence, but SSA does from time to time give us information, and that's why we are able in some instances to proactively deal with tensions in the industry. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, DG and your team. Honorable Minister.
Chairperson.
Yes, who's shouting my name?
Good morning, Chairperson. We had sent an apology that the minister is going to leave the meeting at 10 to attend to cabinet committee.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG and your team, for availing yourselves and make a presentation on this important matter to the portfolio committee. Our interactions from time to time, they will empower all of us so that we are able to intervene from an informed point of view as the portfolio committees of Parliament, and also be able to implement our oversight role as such. Thank you. You are now released so that we continue with the business of the Portfolio Committee. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Poltina.
Morning, sir.
Can we continue now? Has everyone left? Who's not supposed to be now, I think?
No, Chair, there are still some few from the department.
Who is Pumeza's iPhone?
Oh. Hey.
The
It's Honorable Mpushe.
It's Honorable Mpushe, Chair.
Okay. Are they all gone?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. The next item on the agenda is the minutes. Mr. Boltina, can you lead us on that item?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we have circulated to the committee members the minutes of the last meeting of the 6th of September, Chair, where we interacted with the SSC on the third and the fourth quarter performance 2021-2022, and thereafter we also dealt program chapter of the portfolio committee. We have highlighted the issues that the committee raised to the SDG, we circulated the minutes. Then if members have no issues on this minutes, we will propose chairperson that the portfolio committee approves the draft minutes of the portfolio committee on the 6th of September.
Honorable members, page one, is there any issue?
No, Chair.
Page two. Page three.
Three.
Four. Five. Six. Seven. Page eight. Page nine. Page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Page 13. Page 14. Page 15. Page 16. Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Komba.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Can you get your second up?
I second, Chair.
Honorable
Mpushe.
Yes. Is that you?
Maneli.
Okay. The minutes are duly adopted. Announcement. Do you have announcements?
No, Chairperson.
There are no announcements.
No, Chairperson.
Okay, then thank you very much, honorable members, for availing yourselves for such an important meeting that assisted us and opened our minds in terms of what is happening in the transport industry, and also appreciate the presence of the Minister of Transport in our meeting. Without wasting time, honorable members, our meeting is adjourned. We'll meet in plenary.
Malibongwe, Che. Malibongwe.
Kamala Makoskas.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.